104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac, leading off with a big story of the day.
House Loud.
A-U-S-L-A-U-T. House Loud.
You are correct.
Erysipelas.
E-R-Y-S-I-P-E-L-A-S. Erysipelas.
You are correct.
And it went on and on and on and on and on. Seriously, what was more exciting, that or this?
Here comes Siakam, sidestep, layup is good. Wow, what a quarter for Siakam.
Van Fleet goes right at Jarebko.
Tough shot, oh, banks it home. How did he get that one to go?
Seriously, what was more exciting, the spelling bee or the Raptors and the Warriors?
I'm going to go with the one that I watched.
Oh,
which was the basketball.
You didn't watch Spelling Bee? Oh, man.
I assumed it was over. We talked about it. We had our own little Spelling Bee here. I didn't realize it was still going on.
Oh, my. You missed the prime time.
This prime time Spelling Bee?
Dude, these kids are ridiculous. First of all, there were 50 kids that started at 10 o'clock in the morning. They spelled for 5.5 hours. Now, you just go one round, so you have to go through everybody. So you only have to spell one word per round per kid, but it takes forever to go through, and the kids are so good, so it took them 5.5 hours to knock it from 50 kids to 16. 5.5 hours.
Mm-hmm. That's your nightmare, isn't it?
A little bit, but it was pretty compelling. You know, I was sick, obviously, and I was trying to live tweet the spelling bee. I thought that would be funny. You know,
Twitter.
You're right. I would take a guess at the word. And then, you know, the real word would show up. I got 3 right, by the way. It was unbelievable. I couldn't believe I got 3 right. And then they take the final 16 kids, and they do prime time. They started at 6:30 at night. It didn't end till past 10 o'clock. They made up a rule about a tie because it was just not ending. It was never going to end.
That's really, it wasn't going to end?
Dude. 5.5 hours.
I bet if you gave them like 4-letter words, they couldn't spell them.
These kids
could
spell everything.
They hadn't studied that.
They studied everything. It was a joke. These words that you've never heard before, then they're like, oh, does that mean, you know, and they would spill out the definition themselves. These kids are amazing. They were amazing. I watched both at the same time. I watched the spelling bee, and I had the ESPN.
Can they hit
app.
A 3-pointer? Can they turn on a 100-mile-an-hour fastball?
No, they're
amazing. Warning.
Oh,
negative Nancy alert.
They are amazing. Warning. I looked over at my teenager and I'm just like, oh, he can't hit a fastball, but, you know, it was amazing. The stamina with these kids was ridiculous. 9 hours of spelling.
What'd they do after they spelled the word?
Go back and sit down for like however long
it takes. The stamina of sitting down, standing up for 10 seconds, spelling a word and sitting down.
Dude, you don't even know. You didn't watch it.
I didn't.
All right.
I had better things to do.
You could do it at the same time.
I had to work. How was your Roby Day?
What?
I had to work here. How was your Roby Day?
My Roby Day.
Roby Day.
People knew I wasn't going to be here. People knew I wasn't going to be. I told people I wasn't going to be here. Roby had it. Roby was, you know.
It was a Roby Day nonetheless.
My Roby Day was great, actually. It wasn't great. It kind of sucks just sitting around. Like, you'd think it would be great sitting around. Like, it'd be really, you know, cool. Like, it sucks. It's boring. I mean, I was live tweeting the spelling bee in the middle of the day. I was bored.
But you should have been resting. What do you tell your kids?
What do you tell your kids when
they're sick? No electronics. Turn it off.
Oh.
Shades down. Get some rest.
You missed out, man. It was awesome.
I didn't miss out.
I watched
there's
both at
nothing,
the same time. Watched every play of the NBA
there's
Finals.
There's nothing dramatic about a spelling bee to me.
May I have the definition,
look at his
please?
Expression.
They're like little computers up there just regurgitating words that they memorized.
Yeah, every word. The funny part is I would put the word into my iPhone like where it's supposed to correct, autocorrect. They couldn't figure out the autocorrect. Like it would put a little red line under the word even though it was spelled correctly.
Did you fit in the time to watch basketball?
Watched it at the same time. That's what I'm telling
you.
How
is that possible?
Because I have the ESPN app. I watched the entire game and the spelling bee at the exact same time. ask me about the game. What do you want to know about
and,
the game?
And you're more impressed with the spellers than you are the best athletes in the world.
They were more clutch.
The spellers were. Well,
it was ridiculous.
Maybe if the other spellers were in their face and hitting them and making contact with them while they're spelling.
Now, I tell you this, they've got to change things up. So I'm up for distractions during the spelling to ratchet it up a few more notches.
Oh, you got changes with that?
They got to make changes. They have to.
Eric, just to fit you.
No, they were talking about it. The play-by-play spelling guys were talking about it last night. They got to make
changes.
They
wanted to go home like you do.
They've been spelling for
what
9 months.
What kind of changes can you make to a spelling bee?
I really don't know.
Spell it backwards.
Spell it
backwards. Time limit. Give me a clock. You can't get the...
They could do it quicker.
You can't get the origin of the word. It can't be used in the sentence.
Right.
Just do it quicker.
Right. They could do
lightning
stuff like
that. Round. Yeah. Lightning round.
Right.
They'll drop like flies. You won't have a winner.
Right.
It will be go from 8
correct
to 0.
If you just got the word and that was it, that'd be interesting.
Is this going to help these kids later in life?
Yeah.
Being able to spell?
Yeah, of course it is.
Okay.
Because you know what you have to be as a great speller?
I've been on Twitter. Nobody can spell.
You have to be a great reader. You know what you do when you're a great reader? You know stuff because you read.
You just memorize.
And most great readers are great writers.
These kids are all going to be writers.
They're all going to be in Ivy League schools doing something, I guarantee you.
Give me a spelling bee champion that has gone on to greatness in the world.
Do you want me to tell you all the cancer doctors?
Oncologist?
Onycological.
I think you might have mixed up a different kind of doctor in there.
All right, we'll get to...
a ladies doctor.
My favorite story is actually what Devontae Booker said, but I'll wait on that in a second, because you did get your moment yesterday.
I think so many people make a big deal out of it. It is what it is. He a fan, he talk. So many people have complained about it. Like, you don't let any other fan do that. Yeah, any other fan, just not Drake. So they probably shouldn't be able to do that. That's just kind of how the cookie crumbles. I think there's so much talk and, like, the NBA need this. No, they don't. Like, he worked to be who he is. You should get more leash. But I don't mind it. It's fun for me.
That was awesome at the end of the game.
It's going to build.
I love
it. It's building.
It was. I was like,
oh, my God.
The cross
shot is happening.
This is everything Tommy wanted
game
right here.
Game 5.
Love it. And you're trash. That's what Drake said to him. You're trash. And how about Drake wearing Del Curry's Raptors jersey? Classic. Loved it. I like, too, how Drake wears like a sweatband, an armband sort of thing.
Yeah. Like he's a little Nike thing there.
Well, he's getting 4 minutes a game, you know, so he's got to be ready to go.
He was on his, until the final whistle.
Best behavior.
Game 6
of
the Bucks series in game 1, because Adam Silver and the NBA had a little sit down.
Yeah.
He crossed the line, literally. And that's not even with the back rub. I mean, that's different. That's the home coach, whatever.
When he was getting in that little dust up with Green, he was standing right in his seat. Like, Draymond Green didn't have to stop there. Draymond Green could have, the game was over.
No, that's what I told you, though, because the Greek Freak just walked by the chirping.
Right.
Draymond ain't going to have that.
But do you think that's poking the bear? Do you think that'll actually make a difference? They'll play better because of it?
The Warriors will.
Because of that.
It doesn't affect Toronto.
It looked like they needed Kevin Durant last night, baby.
Good last night.
Yeah, it was nice. Drake took some hair lint out of Steph Curry's head. Sweet.
Look at that. That picture I'm looking at.
I know.
That's so punchable.
So smug. Yeah.
He's a little chunky, too.
Drake?
Yeah, a little chunky.
Soft on the road. Chunky.
It's building, man.
What do you think is going to happen?
Exactly what's going to happen.
What?
There's going to be a physical altercation in game 5.
With Drake and Draymond Green?
Yes.
Like Drake's going to, Draymond Green's going to push him or something?
Draymond Green is going to find a way to fall into Drake under the guise of a loose ball or something of that nature. And then it's on.
And then what?
And then if Drake reacts unlike a fan would react, as in like, oh, I spilled my beer, oh, laugh, laugh, laugh. If Drake initiates more contact, then Draymond can do whatever he wants without.
No, he can't.
Yes, you can.
What do you got, Reggie?
So I took a tip from the text line, and it looks like Drake was wearing that armband and those cover-ups to cover up Warriors tattoos that he has.
Oh, that's funny.
That's a myth.
No, I saw that earlier today on NBA.
They have a picture of the tattoo?
He's got two of them, apparently. I was watching Rachel Nichols. She was
Wait, a lifelong Raptors fan, a poser, has Warrior tattoos.
Apparently, yeah, two of them.
Now, with Shane Ray, I can understand the Chiefs one because he's a Chiefs fan.
Right.
And he got it before he was ever drafted by the Broncos.
Yeah.
Drake is from Toronto.
Yeah.
Why would he have a Golden State?
He likes the Warriors.
If you go to the Sports Illustrated article, they have pictures of the tattoos.
He likes the Warriors. Yeah, there's a lot of people that like the Bulls, even though they weren't from Chicago. He loves basketball. He didn't know the Raptors were going to play the freaking... When are they going to match up? The NBA Finals? Like, when's that going to happen? Oh, here it is.
Oh, as a two seed, you didn't think... They've been pretty good the last couple years.
I didn't think it was going to happen.
With DeRozan and Lowry. They've had some good teams.
I didn't think they were going to get past Milwaukee. They're good, though, man. They're a good team. I don't know if they're going to win the series, but they're a good team. They could.
Siakam can't have... He's not going to have 32 every night. You can't rely on that. And to me, Kawhi looks tired,
what?
Or injured, or both. He doesn't look right. And correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, he does not look like he's 100% out there. He's not even close to 100%. Not much lift. Missing free throws. When Iguodala's on him, he doesn't even look to score.
Dude, you are a world-class Warriors fan right now.
How does that make me a Warriors fan? By saying
you're finding these little chinks in the armor that, you know, is going to bring them down. They looked pretty good last night, man.
Do you expect 32 out of Siakam every game?
No.
Where is the scoring going to come from? Is Gasol going to be left open for threes all the time?
I don't know. They find a way. I don't know the Raptors that well, to be quite honest with you. I mean, I just haven't spent a whole lot of time watching them. I don't know.
You're just overreacting to one game.
Okay. When's Durant coming back? Because without him, they don't win.
Three or four. Games three or four.
I mean, do you agree with me at least on that?
No. I think with Cousins getting worked back in last night.
He looks fat.
He's just a big dude.
Yeah.
And you talk about a underrated player is Boogie Cousins and his ability to pass.
Whoa. Sorry. We got some big news. Sorry to interrupt. They sent Kyle Freeland to AAA.
Oh.
Whoa.
Whoa. Why are we shocked?
Ah, jeez. I thought he was going to have a chance to work it out here.
I got little birdies on that.
Tell me. Talk to me.
Birdie.
Talk to me.
They're bringing up Lambert, or have they named?
I'm sorry. I tell you, they're doing a bunch of stuff. Russin's being reinstated from the 10-day IL.
Russin, he hadn't even been to Albuquerque yet, I didn't think.
Jesus Tinoco, recalled from AAA. Don't even know who he is.
Tinoco?
Tinoco, is that it? Tinoco. Pitcher? Help me.
Right. No.
Jonathan Daza.
Tinoco, he's not a starter, though.
Daza got sent down, and so did Freeland. Oh, man. Wow, your number one guy gets sent down to AAA. Holy cow. He's a pitcher. Okay.
Tinoco, he's a relief guy, though.
Yeah,
obviously. He's not a starting pitcher. So who's taking the spot in the rotation? My assumption would be Bettis has been pitching much better lately. And he did pitch after Freeland exited yesterday. And had two clean innings, I believe.
Maybe they'll try to do some sort of Bettis opener bullpen by committee every fifth day. So,
well, you think
sort of
Bettis?
Thing.
Maybe they use Bettis as that opener type guy. That's
what I was thinking.
Start the game, get a couple innings,
yeah,
and then go to the bullpen.
Yeah. By the way, we were at the same game on Wednesday night. Oh.
Oh no.
That dude does not throw hard at all.
No.
Oh, my God. I mean, he's
no, that's why one went about 450.
He's crafty, no doubt, but holy cow. I mean, I'm not joking. I've seen most varsity high school pitchers throw harder than that.
I was sitting 10 feet from it.
Could you believe it?
Yeah. Soft.
It was a little shocking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Hoff actually pitched pretty well that night.
Sure, of course. Not of course, but he should. Look at him. The guy's freaking huge. He doesn't throw very hard either, but they put Estevez in there, and like, I don't know why Estevez isn't just dominating. Dude throws 100 miles an hour, and
when you look at the size of him and some of the stuff he has.
Wow, Kyle Freeland to AAA. He's an isotope. Oh, man. Damn. That is rough.
Rough? What do you mean rough? He's not helping your team win. They're winning despite of him.
That's the whole thing about playing in your hometown, man.
Huh?
Spotlight? Oh, come on. You don't think the spotlight's a little brighter on him?
No, it's coming fourth in the Cy Young is why the spotlight is bright on him.
Oh, okay. So being here where he pitched at TJ and...
Yeah, I think last
that's got
year,
nothing to do with nothing,
I think
though.
The novelty of that wore off. I don't think there's a... You know, the TJ contingent is there every start and is putting a lot of pressure on him.
Well, they better not show up late. Zing.
So my little birdie...
Tell me.
Told me that the Rockies quietly tried to re-sign or do a deal with Freeland before the season.
Okay.
And he said no. And basically, he's up for arbitration next year, I think.
Okay.
So basically, he bet on himself. And now it's all between the ears. It's nothing physical. It's all in his mind. Because he said no to the money. I'm going to prove it.
Now
arbitration.
Now he's struggling to
now
prove
he's,
it.
Now he's pressing. That's all it is. It's not physical.
Yeah, I didn't think it was physical. Did you, I mean, do you think people thought he was hurt or something?
I'm sure that some people probably thought, well, how could he? He's still young. He
didn't
grew
go on
up
the,
here.
He didn't
it's
go
not
on
the altitude.
He didn't go on the mystery split fingernail 10-day IL.
The blister?
Yeah, the blister IL.
No, this is all between the ears.
Yeah, clearly.
But it's not like a John Gray between the ears where he doesn't, you know, he's not pouting after giving up a home run in a playoff game or anything like that. This is him pressing, basically trying to earn more money than what the team had offered him.
Kyle Freeland sent down to AAA. Wow.
Why are you saying wow?
He's the number one starter for the team.
He hasn't been the entire season.
Maybe one
game?
How many number one starters get sent down to AAA for non-physical things?
Wasn't John
it's
Gray?
It's a shock.
Wasn't John Gray the number one?
Not when he got sent down.
Like 3 years ago? Wasn't he our guy?
Didn't he get sent down last year?
3 years ago.
Nah.
They send him down all the time. He gets down.
John Gray was our number one guy at some point.
He's been sent down as our number one guy.
How many times do you think he's been sent down? I thought he was just sent down once. I think he's only been sent down once.
2017, he wasn't sent down a whole bunch.
Oh, man. A whole bunch?
I don't know. It's relative.
Whole bunch. Look it up, Richie. I think Gray went down one time. Jeez, I wanted to say.
Why are you so shocked? I mean, Kisla wrote an article today. Obviously, Breidich has taken the input of the writers and sent them down.
You're funny. You want to reference what you're talking about?
Well, obviously, Breidich doesn't have a high regard for those covering the team day in and day out and writing about the team.
I can't believe something like controversial was in Drew Goodman's book. Good job, Drew. So in Drew Goodman's book, like, These Walls Could Talk, I'm looking forward to reading that book for sure. Breidich
Ben
is
Hoffman
on,
co-wrote it with him.
Oh, there you go. That makes sense. Breidich, on the record, I guess, just destroyed the local media, which is like...
By the way, he prefaced it by saying, this is going to sound bad.
Well, he was
so
right.
So that excuses... That lessens the blow of it sounding bad.
Hey, this may come off as a little insulting, but you are stupid. But no, hold on. I prefaced it. Oh, and this is going to sound bad, too. You're ugly. And smell... But hey, it's okay. I gave you a heads up. Spoiler. What's that, Richie?
I can only find one time that they sent Gray down.
One time.
What year was that?
Last year.
Last year, yeah.
I swear they sent him down to 17.
Dude. Just admit you were wrong and I was right, and we can move on.
Not yet. Just because Richie can't find it?
Yes.
Richie messed up the entire spelling bee.
You were asking for so many unnecessary things.
Oh, word of origin. I needed a background on a word. That is crazy, right? That's not what the spelling bee contestants ever do.
The word was woebegoneness. You could have just sounded
it out. Woebegoneness? Woebegoneness. 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 Got it right.
So didn't I. So you get no gold star.
I didn't have to ask what the stupid language of origin was.
I was just joking with Richie because I knew he couldn't get it. He couldn't figure it out. Cecil wrote down the word and then read it back incorrectly. He wrote it down correctly.
And then and read it wrong?
He flipped the neuter cane.
It was for the win, too.
You're not allowed to write the word down.
I had to make some concessions.
Is this a spelling bee for morons?
Yeah. Pretty much.
On my part, too, because I definitely think I mispronounced one of the words I gave him.
It didn't help Cecil at all to write it down. In fact, it messed him up.
All right, I'm going to give you... We'll dig more into... I thought the Jeff Breidich comments... I didn't understand them. I think I know all the beat guys here that cover the Rockies.
It's Saunders. It's Thomas Harding.
I mean, do you want to throw the cowboy in there? I don't know what he does now. Tracy, yeah.
But
who else is there?
It seemed like an unneeded dig in there.
We've been like pumping up the Rockies for like the past 3 years. We've been saying like basically nothing but good things.
And then the beat writers don't. If he wants to take shots at Kisla or the columnists, is completely different than the beat writers who just basically write about what happened the night before.
I really only know really Thomas and Patrick, as I'm sure there might be somebody from.
They write about who's getting sent down, who's coming up, who's going on the IL, things like that. They give you the ERAs and all that. It's not like these guys are writing critical pieces about the Rockies management. And they've been to the playoffs the last 2 years, so I'm curious as to why this came about. Like, why did Breidich feel the need to assert his dominance because he's a Harvard boy?
I don't know. Caught me by surprise. I heard we're talking to Pedro Gomez here in about 20 minutes or so, but I heard Patrick. We should play Patrick's comments. He was upset. But, you know, the Rockies are doing great. I'm not sure what motivated those remarks. I think overall here in this market we're pretty kind and have liked the moves the Rockies have made over the past few years. I saw Dan O'Dowd on Major League Baseball MLB Network yesterday, and I was just like, oh my God, thank God that guy's not here anymore.
Now that guy could have written, I mean, if you attributed that quote to Dan O'Dowd, he's an idiot.
Dude, that guy. All right, we come back though. I love the Devontae Booker comments today. Oh, my God, they were great. They were great. About quarterbacks? Yep. If you haven't heard them, hang on. It's great stuff. It's coming up next.
It's The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
All right, so the big breaking news is Kyle Freeland has been sent down to AAA. We'll talk to Pedro Gomez about that in about 15 minutes or so. Got to get your reaction to Devontae Booker. It's always great. I always love it when players are trying to compliment one position or a player. And in complimenting the player, they roll other guys just completely under the bus.
Not intentionally.
No, definitely not intentionally.
Like Garrett Bowles wasn't throwing Ron Leary under the bus when he said they finally got me a guard. He probably didn't even. He probably forgot about Ron Leary.
Not intentionally, but it still happens. So it's always fun to like. Oh, so this then? I guess this. That's what you said. Not us.
It was Courtland Sutton a couple weeks ago talking about catching passes from Flacco and saying he's throwing the ball where you expect the ball to be, and it's such a refreshing change.
which is ultimately throwing Case Keenum under the bus.
Yeah.
Right. So this, I think, throws Case Keenum under the bus, too. Here we go. Devontae Booker, ladies and gentlemen, on Joe Flacco.
He's such a cool guy. You know, he talks to everybody in the locker room. Previous quarterbacks, they didn't really do so much, you know, so much. So, you know, they're just being there just on the field, you know, get the job done. And, you know, we see each other walking through the halls or something and wouldn't even, you know, acknowledge us like previous quarterbacks, you know. But he bring that leadership ability out of, you know, all of us out there on the field. And, you know, he won a Super Bowl. So, you know, he's just a good guy.
So previous quarterbacks could be Paxton Lynch.
Yep.
Brock Osweiler.
Yeah.
Trevor Siemian.
Yeah.
Chad Kelly.
Yeah.
Case Keenum.
Yeah. Well, I
Mark
guess.
Sanchez.
Was Booker here when Sanchez was here?
Booker here got in 16. He got here drafted in 16.
Oh, man.
Sanchez was here.
Yeah. It could also include Kevin Hogan, I guess. Garrett Grayson.
Oh, Grayson got signed in January.
Hey.
They hadn't time to they hadn't had enough time to even pass each other in the hallway.
Oh, they haven't?
No.
That quote is so freaking funny. Previous quarterbacks. I heard Cecil say he was talking about Chad Kelly. I don't think so. Chad was very unpopular. I'll give you that. He was not well-liked at all inside the building by the players or the coaches. That is true. But I don't think he's talking about Chad Kelly right there. I think he's talking about Case Keenum. Case was a weird dude, man. I'm telling you. He was...
No.
I think he's talking about Case Keenum.
The difference between Case Keenum and Joe Flacco, if he were talking about Case Keenum, is that Case Keenum was new to the situation. He'd never been going into OTAs the starting quarterback, to the best of my knowledge, except for 2018. Joe Flacco has been in this position since 2008 as a first-round draft pick.
Yeah.
So Joe Flacco knows his way around.
I guess he's says hi in the hallways. It's just such a funny thing to hear, like, other quarterbacks, past quarterbacks. I mean, I'm assuming you're talking about the dudes from last year. What do you think, Trevor Siemian's a jerk? Trevor Siemian was, like, the nicest dude you'd ever run into, and he's, like, harmless.
Yeah, but what do you, if you're walking down the hall at Dove Valley.
He might not say hi to you, but
and T-Rev is like, what's up, Book? What's up, my man, Book?
Definitely not.
Pound
be
up.
Like, he would not be like that.
No, he's kind of a shy, introverted kind of guy.
Yes, don't be so insulted.
Okay, Trey.
Book, that's just who Trevor is. Keenum was different, though, man. I'm telling you. There was something about Keenum. He just did not connect. He never connected. It was weird. It was the one quality I thought about him that he would have that he didn't. I thought for sure he would be like, you know what
he
I thought?
He was trying to be something he wasn't.
I thought he would be like Jake Plummer. And he wasn't even
what?
Close. Yeah. I thought he'd be one, rally the guys, be one of the dudes, you know, sort of be that guy.
He was trying to be, he was new to the position. He didn't know how to do it.
So you think he was intimidated by it?
I think he had the weight of the world on his shoulders.
So he was
with
just
the contracts
stressed
and expectations.
Out.
He's never had these expectations before. The least of his worries was saying hi to some dude in the hallway.
Because he's just stressed out about everything.
Yes.
Constantly.
Yes.
Okay, well, I can believe that. Plus, he's got a head coach who doesn't know what he's doing.
Well, that didn't have any effect on him.
Well, I mean, the state of confusion is, you know, kind of runs epically. E-P-I-C-A-L-L-Y.
He had Musgrave. That was his...
Oh, lucky him. How's Bill Musgrave doing these days? Oh, he's still unemployed? What a shock.
Still getting paid.
Well, there's that. You know what I love? I love dudes that they don't intentionally, he's not trying to throw somebody under the bus. He's just being honest.
Trying to compliment Joe Flacco.
He's trying to compliment Joe. He's just being honest. He's not thinking about things too deeply. He's just telling you, and that's where you really get the truth. Like Derek Wolf to me, Derek's been around the block. You know, Derek knows what he's saying and what he's doing and how he's...
Does he?
Yeah, I think so.
Did you hear his sound from yesterday?
Not all of it, no.
We had to beep out a bunch of it.
Oh, he does that all the time.
He's just talking. He's talking in the locker room.
He does that all the time.
You think that's rehearsed?
No,
he's kind of refreshing to hear.
Derek, yeah, for sure. Yes.
Just says whatever.
Kind of, yeah.
He's not polished.
I don't think the things he says are by accident.
Cussing.
Yeah.
That's on purpose.
Uh-huh. Def Woo, dude. Def Woo. His slogan has a curse word in it. I'll let you figure it out. D-E-F-W-U. No, that's probably the way it was.
Really?
Did you not know that's what it was?
No. Tom was staring at me like blankly.
Oh, okay.
Help?
You didn't know that's what it stood for?
No. I didn't know the slogan either, so.
Don't ever fool with us. Def Woo. He's got t-shirts and hats and tattoos probably. I'm just assuming he's got a Def Woo tattoo. I heard something about it. I was definitely feeling under the weather yesterday, but didn't he talk about, it's like his last year here, maybe, right?
Right.
Not maybe, probably.
Oh, he was talking more, he was asked about whether the being a named captain was important to him, because he's never been a captain.
It should be. If the captains aren't Derek Wolfe and Chris Harris, I won't understand anything going on in this team.
Oh, Vaughn will be a captain.
Oh, yeah, Vaughn, sorry. Ooh.
But we were talking about Vaughn, how he's not really...
Sorry, yeah.
He's a Champ Bailey-type captain where just sort of, I'm great, so I'm a captain. Yeah. I'm a great player, so that makes me a captain. Which isn't really what the captain is about.
No. Like, DeMarcus Ware was the perfect captain.
Yes.
Oh,
right.
My God. Peyton was the perfect captain.
Right.
Even, like, I'd say, like, David Bruton for special teams was perfect guy.
Right.
Vaughn's not that guy.
No.
But neither is Derek. Not really. Chris should be that guy, but Todd Davis. Remember when last year Todd Davis was named a captain? It's like, how is Todd Davis even on this team? He's a captain? Yeah,
it's
I know.
Respect. It's a vote of his peers.
Is it? We got to take a break.
Well, it is for some coaches.
Yeah. I'm not really believing that one. Trevor's a captain? Okay.
Cutler was a captain.
Yeah, I'm rolling my eyes. Pedro Gomez. Kyle Freeland is now an isotope. Wow. Details with Pedro next.
You are listening to The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
Hit well to right and way back there. See you later. A smash by Ryan McMahon in the second deck in right field. 3-2 pitch is hit pretty well to right field. Going back at him, Jones. This one's gone. It's a touch of all time for Ian Desmond. Daniel Murphy intentionally walked his Arenado. 2-1 pitch. Line to left field. That's a base hit. That's a game winner for the fourth time on the homestand. The Rockies with a walk-off win.
Wow, it was pretty exciting for the Rockies on this homestand. Pedro Gomez joins us, brought to you by the Blake Street Tavern. But, Pedro, as great as this homestand's been for the Rockies, not so great for Kyle Freeland. He's been sent down to AAA. What do you think about the move, sending the Rockies' number one starter at the beginning of the year to the Isotopes?
You know, I think it's one of those things that sometimes clubs do with younger players who aren't yet fully established, even though Kyle's had a couple of really good seasons. And it's basically, it's not just to send a message. It's also to, hey, go get yourself straight. Get yourself straight. You're going to be back here. You're not going to spend the rest of the season in the minors. We need you, but we need you to get right. And that's really, now it's up to Kyle. Does Kyle go down there and does he sulk because he's in the minor leagues? Or does Kyle go down there and say, let me get myself right. Let me get myself ready to return as quickly as possible and help the Rockies get to where we've been the last 2 years, basically. That's now it's really going to be interesting to see how Freeland handles this.
You mentioned get himself right. Is that from a physical standpoint? Is it mechanics, or is it more in his head at this point?
You know, at this point, it's probably more psychological than anything, because this guy's had success at the major league level, big time success. So he knows he can do that. Now it's a matter of, okay, the blister situation earlier this year, I wasn't pitching as well as I have the last two seasons. Now it's really up to how does he react to this message, basically, that Buddy Black and Jeff Breidich are sending to him about, we want you, but we need you to be right. It's a big move, and it's not unheard of for something like this to happen. Like I said a little while ago, it's really going to be, how does Kyle Freeland react to this?
What do they need to see from him to bring him back?
Consistency. That's really all it is. It's just consistency. And that has not happened this season, really, for Kyle Freeland. So, you know, you've got your opening day starter. You expect so much out of him. And really to be the leader of the rotation, because that's why you put him in the number one slot. And it just has not been a consistent season for him. And look, sometimes, you know, it's not unusual for pitchers to have to take a step backwards before they move forward again. So this is not by any means unheard of within the game of Major League Baseball. And, you know, he's just got to get to a point where when he takes the ball, do the Rockies have a chance to win that game? And that hasn't always been the case this season. And that's really, when I say consistency, that's what needs to happen.
Pedro, last time we talked to you, it was last week. It was before Baltimore. It was before Arizona. The Rockies have been a part of four walk-offs since that time. Is there a point where this can go one way or another? It can fatigue the team because of the way they're winning, or it can spur them forward and give them more confidence?
You know, at the end of every winning season, and when I say winning, I mean playoff-bound club, they tend to have more late-inning heroics than any other club within their division or most of the league. So what this does is it allows the players to think, no matter what, ninth inning, we're down by three, it doesn't matter. We can still win this game. We have shown that we are capable of that. It's really I hate to use the word again, but it's a psychological advantage that all winning clubs share. They do share this, where it doesn't matter what the situation is, they always believe they're going to win. So as exhausting as it might be from a fan standpoint, because why can't they just take the lead in the fifth inning and hold on to it? There's something about being inside that dugout. I've talked to so many players who have shared that experience from winning clubs. There's something about being in that dugout when you've done it in April and May that just spills over into June, July, August, September. And it's something that winning clubs share. So as exhausting or fatiguing as it may be, it's actually a very good thing.
Pedro, how often do you guys take the demotion like Kyle Freeland is taking and never come back?
You know, you can't say that it has never happened, because, yes, there are players that get sent down and you never hear from them again. But I would say that they're the kind of players that have not truly enjoyed success. So in Freeland's case, because he has success already on his resume, I would be shocked if he does not go down, get himself right, and come back within 2 to 3 weeks and remain in the rotation the rest of the way. If for some reason things go sideways down at AAA, then you may not see Kyle again until September, until the rosters expand.
Would this have an effect on a guy like Keuchel after the draft? Would they be more aggressive if they don't like what they're seeing down in Albuquerque?
You know, certainly, look, Keuchel's going to be a sought-after pitcher here in about a week after the draft is over. And, you know, it's going to depend on what the Rockies think they have this year. Do they think they truly are a contender? If so, they will be players for Keuchel. If Breidich and ownership says, you know what, we just don't have the same magic right now, then I would suggest that they probably will not be in on the Keuchel sweepstakes, or will make an offer that they know won't be acceptable to Keuchel. you know, the Yankees probably are going to be one of the bigger pursuers of Keuchel. They certainly have the bank account to be able to do that. And Keuchel very well may say, I'm very familiar with the American League. I like the American League. Let me go there. But as we've seen time and time again, pitchers who do well in the American League and move to the National League tend to have success in the National League because the lineups are not nearly as long as they are in the American League, and you can get away with more facing National League clubs than you can American League clubs.
Speaking of Jeff Bridges, did you catch the quotes attributed to him from the Drew Goodman book about the local press?
No, I'm not familiar with them. I'm sorry. I've been on assignment the last 2 days, so I have not seen them.
He was critical of the local press, more or less saying, you know, kind of the same old, like, who are these guys think they are? If they really could do anything, they'd be doing this job. I'm sure you've heard crap like that, you know, over the years.
That's not a good sign. that's not a good look. That's not a good look. You know, I've never, ever been a fan of the ball player who says, well, you never played the game at this level. How could you possibly be able to write about it? You know, that has nothing to do with being able to be critical of what you see in front of you, especially if you're a student of the game. So that's certainly not a good look. I'm actually surprised Jeff would say something like that.
All right, Pedro, always great catching up with you. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys, take care.
Pedro Gomez brought to you by Blake Street Tavern. Football at 4. The select few that got to talk to Peyton Manning, I'm sure that was lucky for them. I mean, we have some reaction to that and more from the final day of OTAs before mandatory minicamp starts next week. Football at 4 is next.